Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Bingen, and David Janes with you. We hope you are having a wonderful Tuesday. Your commute home isn't going too poorly. So, before the season, Willie has a tradition. He comes up with 10 critical Titans questions that will determine the success or failure of the team in that given year. And about halfway through, I said to Willie, "Hey, Willie, can I do one?" And Willie said, "Sure, go nuts." So this was the question I came up with. I set the over-under for sacks generated by the Tennessee Titans, so the defense, at 32.5. The Titans had 32 sacks last season, which was among the worst totals in the NFL. And with all the changes in the defensive department, Harold Landry out the door, a lot of sacks went out the door, and I was skeptical that the Titans could even get back to 32 sacks. So I set the over-under at 32.5, and I believe the two of you both took the over, correct?
According to my calculations, D. Mace and I, yes, we took over, you took under.
I sure did. How many sacks are the Titans on pace for this season?
Like 25?
17? 17. One per game. So, so my question is, did I set the bar too high inadvertently? I thought I was like, hey, I think this is a pretty reasonable number.
You thought you was doing them
I thought I was doing them a solid. Nope. They're on pace for 17 sacks.
I think they'll be okay. You know, in other words, you know what? I actually thought about this.
Are you sure?
I can't be sure, but yes. I'll put it to you this way. I thought about this as a topic that we can maybe use. That it's a little too early maybe to use this, but what if I gave you one mulligan based on what we've seen so far where you could change your answer? That would not be one where, that would not be the one that I would change.
I will tell you the one I would change.
And you know, we can start that conversation now if you
sure.
want.
Sure, just for kicks and giggles. The one that I would change.
Did you say
kicks?
Kicks and giggles.
Just check.
Yeah.
I'm a professional. I'm not going to curse on the air.
Don't make me freak out back here.
Oh, my goodness.
I said,
David was like, oh, my goodness.
Rewind the tape. I clearly said
I know you did.
Kicks.
Yes, you did. I'm just joking.
Excellent cereal, too, by the way.
I didn't like kicks.
I could. Well,
it was
mid. That was right on the borderline. I could get my parents to let me buy kicks
because of the little enough sugar, the vitamins and
the vitamins and minerals.
Yes,
key. Yes.
Okay, sorry. Cereal sidebar. If I could take one back, it would be my prediction that the veteran pass catchers would outdo the young pass catchers in receiving yards.
Mine would clearly now be that Calvin Ridley, I don't think, is going to get to the 1,100 yards
based on how the defenses
are going to go about this. They, you know, just because he's the best of what they have, unless Io Manor really comes on, I think it's going to be tough every week for Ridley, and Ridley's not playing super well. But I do think they will get the sacks. The problem is, and this is what happened in the Rams game, the Rams, and you heard Brian Callahan, we played a clip earlier in the show where he hit this. They didn't have to take a lot of chances. They went into the game saying, we are the better team. The cream will rise to the top. They didn't panic even when Stafford had the bad pick at the end of the half. They go into the locker room behind. The Titans still lead the game late in the third quarter. But the Rams stayed with the game plan. They didn't run it super impressively. They hit the fourth and one. That was the one that the Titans, if they could have one play back, they had the guy in the backfield, Nakua.
Yeah.
And he goes for 45 yards. That really
whiffed on the tackle.
But for the most part, it was, hey, we get our short gains on the runs. We do a little play action. Let's not put ourselves in too many third and longs, and we'll be all right. And that's basically what happened. And Callahan said it. They just didn't get in a position to where they could pin their ears back and really bring the pressures that would bother a veteran player like Stafford. And so he had a nice, easy Sunday afternoon where he might have gotten hit twice the whole game.
If I had one to take back, it'd be two. It'd be them getting the sacks because, man, just watching them over the last two games.
You don't think they'll get it?
It's tough because they have nobody that gets outside of Jeffrey on occasion. And I know Sweat, once he gets back in there, he'll get some push up the middle. They got nothing from the outside, Willie. And I mean,
do you think
nothing.
Oladejo can get better? I see him.
He can get better.
See, they like putting him in there when it's the obvious passing situation. The problem is there's just not a whole lot of obvious pass situations where he can go in there with a chance. And I still don't know if he's got the savvy. He's got the athleticism. Mm-hmm. But does he have the savvy to actually get there?
Well, I think that will come. If it's going to come, I think that comes with time for him. But watching this defense, and I'm not saying this to say they have a bad defense, because I think they have a good defense, a solid defense. But they have no pass rush on the outside. And I mean none. They're not getting much pressure at all. Like, it's glaring. How long, you know, whether and they got some. What did they get? Two, one? No, they got one.
They
against
have one
Denver.
Each week.
Yeah.
And it was a strip sack. They got the fumble.
But it never looked like
Jeffrey Simmons in week one, Amani Hooker in week.
It never they had better pressure against the Broncos. I thought
they had better pressure because they got. But it never seems to me like this team. Like when they need a big sack, you don't. You look across the board and say, well, who outside of Jeffrey, it's like, but from the outside, it's like, who's going to get it?
No.
Nobody.
And again, we go back to the roster. If you're the offensive, if you're Sean McVay and you're scouting the Titans, you are not scared one bit about anybody on the team other than Simmons. Like, okay, well, let's handle Simmons.
And Sweat
and
when he comes in.
Right, and Sweat wasn't there. Yeah. But from a pass protection standpoint, you're not really worried about a veteran quarterback like Stafford, and your receiver group, you're like, we'll get what we need. We'll get what we need.
Let's go to Mark in Nashville. Our friend Mark is on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Mark, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Boy, I really just don't know what to say, man. I've called and called, can't get on the show. Y'all done blocked the number one call out.
We do have to say, I think you were cheating on us. I believe I heard you more than once on the morning show.
Yeah,
I thought we were special to you, Mark. You're calling the other show too.
Come on, man.
Hey, I spread the wealth around.
You're spreading the love. Jason, There's too much Mark for one show.
Yeah, I know, man. What's up, Adam? Willie D. Mays.
What's going on? What you got for us, Mark?
Jason McCade called me the other morning, told me to spread the wealth. Said we need to get the numbers up. And I said, hey, Chase, I'll do that, man. I'll make that happen for you, Chase. Yeah, cool.
Man. So what you got for us, Mark?
Mark's working overtime.
Hey, what I was going to say was, you know, you got Oladejo. Art and Key's not playing up to par, D-Mace. You know that. They need a defensive end. I look at TV the other day, D-Mace. I don't know if you were watching other games. Za'Darius Smith got signed with the Philadelphia Eagles. Why the Titans didn't sign Za'Darius Smith? I mean, why didn't bring him in as a defensive end, man, and bring him? You drafted a guy in the second round, and you call him a project. That's disrespectful, man. I mean, Snead, he's not playing great ball. Adams was cooking him Sunday, man, especially on them stopping goals. He had to grab him and whatever, whatnot. You ought to bring up a question about an over and under. How many interceptions the secondary have? I say about three for the season, maybe. But, hey, look, before I go, and I know the numbers that came up. You appreciate me, Adam. So, tell me you appreciate me. But, Willie, before I go, you got the Padres in town tonight. You had Jacob DeGrom, them almost sweep the Mets. You might well pack your bags. Well, there's no sense of going to New York this year and try to go see the Mets play. But look, you got my Cincinnati Reds and Terry Francona. We just a game and a half back. It's over, Willie. They choke. I hate to say it, Willie, but they have choked.
I'm having trouble breathing. I am having a lot of trouble breathing right now, Mark. By the way, the Mets game against the Padres
is coming up next.
It's going to be on our. It's going to be on our
right after
tonight.
Our program.
Cool. So we'll see.
Padres
if Mark is
and
right.
Mets. I know what Willie will be listening to on the ride home.
The Mets, I believe. I may be off by a game or two, but since June 13th, they are 32-54,
Yikes.
I think.
That sounds bad.
And yet they're still in the wild card position. Can you believe that?
Hey, you know what else is bad? The Titans pass rush.
Yes. Yeah.
So I'm looking at the individual numbers here. Jeffrey Simmons, no shocker here, leads the Titans with 7 quarterback pressures, according to the NFL. He has 1 of the 2 sacks. I thought Jeffrey Simmons against Denver, minus the penalty at the end, of course, which is a big minus. I thought he was incredibly impactful in that game. I mean, his pressures led to 2 turnovers against the Denver Broncos. But 7 quarterback pressures, 1 sack for Jeffrey Simmons. Jahad Ward and Draymond Jones have 3 pressures apiece through 2 games. Amani Hooker has 2. Arden Key, Cody Barton, James Lynch, Roger McCreary, Cedric Gray, and Femi Oladejo each have 1 pressure.
Oladejo has 1 pressure in 2
pressure.
Games?
1 pressure. The Tennessee Titans have a total quarterback pressure percentage of 26, which is 27th in the NFL through 2 games.
See, to me, the Oladejo stat is
1 pressure.
That's the guy that I think needs to be in there more. Like, if Barton shouldn't be, like, he's going to be a different guy. He's not going to be rushing the passer all the time. Oladejo is there to try to help them in that area. How many does Key have?
Key has 1 pressure.
I was going to say, I have not hardly noticed Key out there. Those are 2 guys that they've got to win some matchups.
And I've seen a couple of people mention this. I believe Robbie mentioned it. I think I saw Mike Herndon of Paul Kaharsky mention it too. But watching the game on Sunday, I can't recall a single time where Ian Eagle or J.J. Watt mentioned a Titans pass rusher on the broadcast. It's like maybe Jeffrey Simmons because he's a player that people around the country may want to hear about, but nothing about Draymond Jones, nothing about Arden Key, nothing about Femi Oladejo. It's like not a good sign when the broadcasters aren't bringing up your pass rushers because they're not doing anything.
That's because they haven't shown themselves to be pass
rushers.
Because
they're not doing anything.
Yeah, they're not doing anything. And it's unfortunate because, you know, this scheme, knowing that they don't have a premier pass rusher, this scheme is supposed to get the pressures and the sacks. And they've gotten the pressures in the first game. I'm sure they wish they would have got more this past game. But they're going to have to start getting to the quarterback. And the problem that they're running into is, okay, we can bring pressure, but what if we don't get to the quarterback? We can't hold up on our side. They showed it. I think Snead's going to get better, but he had his moments this past weekend. Brownlee had his moments, you know, the past 2 weeks. Baker has had his moments of getting beat. So are you going to, in order to try to get sacks and pressures, are you going to have to scheme up a zone? But when you do that, you're opening yourself up for a big play. So if you do it, you're going to have to do it. It's going to have to be like one of those deals where it's not as much, but when we do it, we got to hit it. Because if we don't, we're going to get beat in the back end. Now, these guys can start playing better in the back end as the season goes. And then once Tavondre comes back, that'll be better for the defensive line. But I'm not sure how much they're willing to expose, especially with the offense not generating points. I don't know how much you want to expose your secondary or your defense if you try to blitz a little bit more just to get to the quarterback.
Let's go to Eli from Smyrna on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Eli, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, fellas. I just had a question about the record for the season. You know, I'm just having not trying to be a real big negative Nancy, but I'm just having a real hard time about where we're going to get a win at. You know what I'm saying? Because we can't get touchdowns. The only touchdown we could get last week was Cam making an off-schedule play, and we can't get pressure on the other quarterback to get sacks and make them make off-schedule stuff and bad plays. So I'd just like to get your thoughts on that.
Thanks, Eli. Now, if I recall correctly, we did talk about this on the show a few weeks ago. Connor Orr of Sports Illustrated went through every game of every team before the season and predicted the outcomes for all of the games. And if I am not mistaken, he gave the Titans their first win of the season at Arizona, the 5th game of the season. So, hey, maybe it's Arizona.
Arizona doesn't look great.
I hope it doesn't have to wait until the end of the season could. When they play the Saints at home.
They had
that'd be bad.
Well, let's look at these. Like, Houston's really struggling right now. I think Houston has a better roster than the Titans. We know the Colts are off. They're one of the biggest stories of the league right now.
Mm-hmm. First 2-0 start since 2009.
They're playing great.
Yeah.
For all the problems that the Titans had with the Denver defense there, now, of course, the game was in Indy, but they shredded that defense. They did not punt. The Colts have not punted in the two games. That's how good and
first
efficient their offense
is. First team in the Super Bowl era to not punt in either of its first two games.
That's impressive.
Season.
Mm-hmm. But you got a four-game stretch after that game at Houston, who, you know, Houston's going to be a pretty significant favorite, at Arizona, at Vegas. And the Raiders last night, they got some bad bounces. They were kind of in the game, but they got issues. And then you got the Patriots. So, to me, in those four games, you got to get a win or two. That's going to be a key stretch to try to hold the line of the belief, the locker room, mm-hmm. et cetera. That would be my thought, that four-game stretch.
Let's go to T-Mac in the borough on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. T-Mac, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
I want to say two things. For one, they're not getting any pass rush. So all of these guys that they keep drafting, like I'm thinking about Jalen Harrell from last year's draft. If they're not getting any type of rush off the edge, why don't they try some of these guys? I mean, they're not getting it done with Arden Key and the other guys. So why don't they just try some of these guys they drafted? And then speaking of guys they drafted, Can one of y'all tell me what the heck is Femi Oladejo doing on the team? Because he doesn't tackle, he doesn't do anything. He has the cleanest uniform on the field. Like, he's not no effort, no anything. So can y'all please comment on that? And just tell me what the heck is he doing on the team, and I'll hang up and listen.
We will attempt to do that, T-Mac. By the way,
That's a key guy.
Yes, yeah. And I do want to mention, because Mark mentioned this earlier, why didn't the Titans sign Za'Darius Smith? Well, it takes two to tango, so Za'Darius Smith may not have wanted anything to do with the Tennessee Titans. He didn't want to play for a bottom feeder. He wanted to play for the defending Super Bowl champions, right? He plays for the Eagles, right?
Yes.
Okay. The Eagles. So, it's a little bit different when the Eagles call versus when the Titans call. So, but let's touch on Femi coming up next, because T-Mac's point is well taken. There are some texts about Femi Oladejo in the text line. So let's talk about Femi Oladejo on the other side. 615-737-1025. Did I set the bar too high? I said 32 and a half sacks. Basically, I said, just get back to where you were last season. And boy, I feel pretty good about that right now, considering the Titans are on pace for a whopping 17 sacks. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. I thought about saying that to the beat for a second, but I didn't want to make a complete fool of myself.
There you go.
But that's all right. Talking the non-existent Titans pass rush, and T-Mac from the borough in our previous segment, he is down on Femi Oladejo. I did find it funny when he said he has the cleanest uniform on the team. That got a chuckle out of Derek Mason as well.
That boy, he is clean.
Jackson on our text line says, the one pressure for Oladejo was when he was completely left unblocked, if I remember right. No excuse for Arden Key having one pressure. I'll have to go back and look, Jackson. But that sounds right.
How many obvious passing situations have they put the other team in?
That's a good question.
Because we spent the first hour of the show talking about how backed up the Titans offense has been so often. Like 19 out of the 29 third downs have been for seven or more. I don't think it's the same, because when you're in those situations, it does make it a lot easier to get to the quarterback.
And by the way, Jackson, you are correct. The one pressure for Femi Oladejo against the Broncos, he was left on block. He had a free path to Bo Nix.
Well, there you go.
Okay, so I think in the context of they haven't had a lot of advantageous spots, but Oladejo is such a critical player in the big picture. Forget about week to week, because as Trevor Maddich said, apropos, echoing what I have said, and I think we all agree, the number one priority. Oh, thank you.
Apropos is a good word.
Yeah, there we go.
The number one priority is to keep Cam upright, develop him, get him through this year, and then get him some freaking help on the roster. He's got none. But Oladejo is supposed to be part of the help. He is the second-round pick. But right now, I see an athlete. Denard Wilson has said, I want him to be a disruptor. I want him to be speed. I want him to be... He looks the part, but it's not... We only played two games, but it hasn't translated yet.
He looks like a guy. They didn't draft... Okay. They drafted him based on potential. They didn't draft him because he had these gaudy stats at that position, and he was just heralded as the next great pass rusher. And he just slipped to the second round for some reason, whatever. No, they drafted him. Potential, he has a two-piece. He's potential and a project. That's just what he is. Because of his potential, they're going to make him a project. And he looks just like it out there. But here is the problem, so to speak. They want to play all these young guys. They do. They have to. They got to see what they have. He's not ready to play, like truly. Like, he's not ready to play. I'm not saying that he's a bad player or he will be a bad player. Just think under any other circumstance. If this was a stacked team, would he be playing on defense? Probably not.
No.
Because he's not ready to play, really. He's not ready to play. Like, you're playing a guy that's a project, has potential, but he's not ready to play. Project has potential, but not ready to play. That's why he looks the way he looks.
So, like, do you think he
out of
get
place
there?
Or just don't know what's going on? Because he really does. Things are
but
just.
But can he get there? Because that's the question. What is your mantra? Your mantra is play the what?
Play the kids.
Play the kids.
Yeah.
So you have to be willing to play him and not have it look good, and hopefully he learns, right?
Yes, and people are just looking. There's nuances in a draft pick, okay? People are just looking at he was a second-round draft pick. That's all they're looking at.
And the question that a lot of people have is, if Femi Oladejo was such an unfinished product, why do you take him with a second-round
pick? Just like any other GM, take a guy and they shouldn't take him because I can fix him. I can get him to play. I see the potential. I see it. Everybody sees it. I'm not just the only person that sees it. I guarantee you, had the Titans not drafted him, somebody else would have probably drafted him in the second round. They would have. Now, how he would have developed there, I don't know. But you drafted a guy based on his potential and, you know, what he's a project. But now you got to play him, you know, and playing him looks just like what it has been looking like. A guy that's a rookie that hasn't played this position very long, and he's still trying. That's a complex defense. He's still trying to figure. And I'm sure they're not giving him a lot of stuff because you can't. But he's not playing on instinct right now. He's thinking about the game. And that is the last thing you want to do as a player. You just want to go out there because you prepared so well and you're ready. Just let your natural ability take over. And it'll be all right. He can't do that because he doesn't know what's going on. So he can't let his natural ability to play the game show because why? He's thinking about what he has to do. And the minute you're thinking about what you have to do, that tackle is going around you to block the backer, and that pulling guard is hitting you right in the throat.
Couple of things. One, Oladejo was the 52nd overall pick in the NFL draft. I pulled up Dane Brugler's final mock draft for The Athletic because I have a lot of respect for Dane Brugler as an analyst. He had Oladejo going 61st, so still in the second round, to Derek's point. Willie, I also have another answer to your question. You wanted to know how many obvious passing downs on third down the Titans have defense has forced. The Titans have faced as a team 27 third down plays. They have forced the opponent to be third and long, which means 7+, 9 times. Out of 27 total.
So it's almost the complete opposite of the offense. Fair to say?
In the sense that
that the offense has been an obvious passing third downs about two-thirds of the time, and the defense has only forced
one-third of the time.
One-third of the time.
Yes.
So that's not a lot of idealistic times where you're going to get to the quarterback, especially against a good veteran team like the Rams, where like that was a big thing during the game. Mm-hmm. They just couldn't get the Rams in a lot of obvious passing situations, and it looked like a very easy game to call for Sean McVay.
When you're in, you know, second and five.
They didn't take them out of their comfort zone. Second and four,
yeah. They were in rhythm. Yeah. They stayed on pace. They stayed on task. And when you do that, the outcome tends to be a lot better.
And the number one reason is the roster. It's not the scheme. It's not the ideas. It's not the coordinator. It's the roster is lacking.
I knew it was only a matter of time, but we have received multiple texts informing us that Harold Landry has 3.5 sacks for the New England Patriots. I knew that. I looked it up before the show because I knew y'all were going to come and text us that. E on our text line to that point says, hey guys, why did the Titans always steal away their playmakers? We complain about the lack of pass rush, yet we let Harold Landry walk. That is one of many lost opportunities. Players that go on to excel elsewhere. Sure, it happens around the league, but the Titans revolving door never slows down.
I will give you the Titans answer why that they did that. And because I was asking that question over the summer, and it's a very good question because Harold Landry, for all of his faults, was the best that they had. He was a legitimate edge rusher. Now, what the story that I heard in the Athletic Football Podcast, right? They get into the weeds on their thing. So they wanted to get bigger to set the edges on the run downs. They thought they were undersized with Key and Landry, and they felt like they were getting picked on runs to the outside. And they were not able to get into third and obvious passing. So they went with Jones and Ward, right, as the pickups to get bigger, to set the edge mm-hmm. better. And that, you know, we'll see how that plays out. They've only played two games. But that's why they did it. Plus, Landry was paid probably more than he was worth. And it's a little bit like the Matt Duchene buyout, right, Adam? Where yes. Landry is now getting paid a little more reasonably. And he's a better buy for the Patriots. And Mike Vrabel knows exactly how to use Harold Landry in his scheme.
And I think that the why do the players my favorite team gives up go on to do good things elsewhere, that's across all sports. There are plenty of examples. Correct me if I'm wrong here. Christian Fulton had a moment last season, I think. With the Chargers?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's still in the league.
Right.
And Adoree Jackson is still in the league.
Right.
Yes.
But Christian Fulton, I think he had a few interceptions early in the season or something. It's like, how come Christian Fulton couldn't do that for the Titans? Right. And like, Predators fans, because I lived in that world covering the team, I know y'all feel that same way. I remember when Ellie Tolvanen was placed on waivers and went off to Seattle and had a good start. Philip Tomasino scored a few goals in his first few games with the Penguins. Dante Fabro with the Blue Jackets.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there are plenty of examples. There are also examples of players who leave your team and then do absolutely nothing. But I get it. I get it.
Sure. It's natural. Like, yeah. There's a running joke. Like, until the Cubs finally won the World Series in 2016, it was like, whatever team in the World Series has the most ex-Cubs, that's who's going to win. Like,
or in hockey, all of the ex-members of the Buffalo Sabres
right.
who go on to win the Stanley Cup, like Ryan O'Reilly or Sam Reinhart or...
it's a long list.
Jack Eichel. You know, it's the same thing. But I get it. Jackson says, lame excuse. You're allowed to sack the quarterback on first and second downs, Willie. Just ask John Ojukwu.
Hey, listen.
Okay, but see, that's where they don't have the guys that are going to get to the quarterback on first, because they have Jones and Ward in the game, right? So mm-hmm. that's where a very good play caller who has the upper hand with the personnel, like McVay. I'll give you the example. The Titans are up 16-13. It's late in the third quarter. First and 10, little play action. Puka Nacua, little pick play, rub route, big play, and they're off and running. So I think they're allowed to sack the quarterback on first down, but Do they have the personnel that's going to get to the quarterback in a down where you're much more apt to run? Like first and 10, you got a choice, first pass or run. They're not going to get sacks on first down.
No, and the unfortunate part about it is that, again, if you want to get pressure, then you have to potentially expose the secondary because you're bringing somebody out of the secondary or bringing an extra linebacker or two. So there's going to be an open space. So you're banking one of these guys are going to get to the quarterback. And it hasn't been that way. Now they have two sacks and some pressures. But for the most part, I think, you know, if you go back and watch the games, the quarterbacks didn't have a problem really throwing the football consistently. They played better. The defense played pretty good against Denver. But, you know, in the second half of that Ram game, they just, you know, the war of attrition got to them and they got worn down because they were on the field so much. But in order to try to get those sacks, they can't get them with four guys. And, you know, ideally, that's what you want to be able to do because that's what the Rams can do. That's what the Denver Broncos can do. They can get to you with four guys. That's what Cleveland can do. They can get you with four guys. That's why the back end seems so much better than what it is. Why? Because we don't have to blitz nobody. We can play zone behind it, let those guys get to the quarterback and force the quarterback to throw a errant pass against a four-man rush into a zone defense. The Titans can't do that.
Out of curiosity, Adam, how many of the 11 sacks are on first down for Cam Ward? Cam Ward's been sacked 11 times in two games.
Are you asking me or do you know the answer?
I don't know the answer.
Okay, well, why don't I take the break to find out that answer?
Well, that's just the texter put in there, you're allowed to sack the quarterback on first down. I'm curious, how many times, because I don't know the answer.
How many times has Cam Ward been sacked on first down?
On first down.
Okay, I will look that up. Coming up next, 615-737-1025. We will also wrap up the show by discussing the AFC South. We mentioned the Colts, the Titans' next opponent. They're 2-0. The Texans are 0-2. The Jags are there too. We'll discuss that next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Ving, 102.5 The Game.
Someday when people look at me, they'll say, there goes Roy Hobbs, the best there ever was.
TriStar Pictures presents Robert Redford in The Natural, the story of a father and a son.
You got a gift, Roy, but it's not enough.
Of love.
He means the world to me.
And desire.
I'm not waiting for true love to come along, Roy.
A champion.
A Roy Hobbs comes along once, maybe twice in everybody's lifetime.
And his destiny.
With or without the records, they'll remember you.
Best there is now, and best there ever will be.
I wouldn't bet against me.
I already have.
Oh, that's the good stuff.
Great movie.
R.I.P. Robert Redford.
Mm-mm.
89 years old?
89.
That movie came out in 1984, The Natural, with Roy Hobbs. And Goodbye, Mr. Spaulding was a big part of the lingo in the 80s after that movie, for sure. There goes Roy Hobbs, the best there ever was.
By the way, to answer your trivia question, Willie, Cam Ward, of course, has been sacked 11 times this season. He's been sacked twice on first down, five times on second down, three times on third down, and one time on fourth down.
So twice on first down, and we actually looked at the tape of both of them. They were both first and 10. So, yes, you are allowed to – you are permitted.
You are permitted
to sack the quarterback on first down. Indeed. I think in general it's harder to sack a guy. It should be harder to sack somebody on first down because you have a lot more play action options and things like that.
But not every team employs John Ojukwu.
This is true.
So – there you go. Keep that in mind. Well, we know that the Indianapolis Colts are the Titans' next opponent. The Colts are rolling 2-0 for the first time since 2009, as we mentioned earlier as well. The Colts are the first team in the Super Bowl era with zero punts through its first two games of the season. The Colts defeated the Broncos 29-28 on Sunday. I don't know if you guys saw the ending to this game. The Colts missed a 60-yard field goal with no time left. But Denver was called for leverage.
Leverage.
Leverage. Ah. Now, Derek, explain what leverage is and why that is an illegal play.
Well, what is it when you're pulling a guy, you're pulling to get another guy through. You're not supposed to be on, and I'm sure it was over the center more than likely.
I think it's designed to protect the center.
Yeah. So either you're lining up over the center and you're not supposed to, or defensive players tend to go in and pull a guy and let the other guy shoot the gap. That's illegal too. So,
as a defender, you're not allowed to place your hand on an opponent or a teammate and push off to propel yourself. There we go. Into the air to block a kick. In this case, number 92 came across the line to the right guard, and he puts his hand on the right guard and pushed off him to elevate himself in order to block the kick.
Now, think about how unintelligent totally that wrong. Is. I mean, you can't. It's a 60-yard field goal,
right?
And
so the Broncos.
This is a big theme: is kickers are routinely making, and Joey Sly has hit a few 55 and out, like Aubrey, the kicker for Aubrey's his name, right? The Dallas kicker.
Mm-hmm.
He hit from 64 to tie it, and it was not. It was easy. It would have been good from 70.
So the Colts get a second chance from 45 yards this time.
So that, you
and
have
the kicker
to
nails.
If you're the special teams coach. You would tell your guys, do not leverage. It's 15 yards.
It's
one thing if you're like you're diving in to block or something like, but that is unbelievable. If the guy hits from 60, you've got to tip your hat. He missed, and it had really nothing to do with the leverage, but they get a freebie.
Wow. So the Colts come in 2-0. Daniel Jones is slanging it all over the field. We'll talk more about the Colts, of course, as the week progresses. The Houston Texans are 0-2 now with the Tennessee Titans after losing 20-19 to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last night in the Monday Night Football doubleheader. Houston led 19-14 with roughly 2 minutes left. The Buccaneers then engineered an 11-play, 80-yard drive punctuated by Rashad White's touchdown run with 6 seconds left. As the Texans fall to 0-2, joining the Titans in the cellar of the AFC South.
It's a heck of a drive by Baker Mayfield and the Bucs. It was textbook. And they went right down there. They ran the ball in with 9 seconds and one timeout. I'm sure there were people in Tampa watching going, take the timeout. They did a great job of saving their timeouts. They even let the clock run down so they made sure there was really no way for the Texans to get the ball back. It was very patient. It was well done. But I thought the story of the game was that the Texans offense struggled so much they were getting booed. They could not protect CJ Stroud. So all of the offensive line issues are still issues.
They hadn't changed them. And they're missing, you know, one of their playmakers on the offensive side of the ball, a wide receiver. So that doesn't help either. You know, and this is why this division for the Titans, for the Titans, it may be it's not a bad thing in a sense that you're not a good team. And what I mean by that is this, you're in a division that isn't really that good. So you're not a good team, but you may be able to somehow, some way, be a player in this division if you can figure this thing out from the offensive side of the ball. Because Houston's struggling. Jacksonville, they're okay, but we don't know. We just don't know what Jacksonville is.
The Jags lost to the Joe Burrow-less Bengals on Sunday.
And they intercepted Browning 3 times.
Exactly.
Still, yes.
Couldn't come up with the win. That was weird because I didn't watch the game, but I saw that stat. I was like, so you're telling me they lost Joe Burrow, his backup threw 3 picks, and the Bengals still ended up with 31 points and won the game. Apparently there was some infighting on the sideline between Duval himself,
Liam Cohen.
And a quarterback.
Lawrence, and I think there was a route that Brian Thomas stopped running, and Cohen kind of was like, I want to kind of call him out, but I can't do it. So the other part that I see is Travis Hunter hasn't really made a big mark offensively yet. He had 3 catches for like 22 yards on Sunday. They haven't figured it all out yet.
Well, neither one of these teams have figured it out. I mean, Indianapolis right now is the best team because they are the most solid team or complete team, so to speak. And Daniel Jones is seemed to be playing pretty good as of now. But this this division is, you know, in essence, it's a winnable division. It's just it's a good thing and a bad thing. But the Titans just don't have the – if this was the AFC North and the Titans were in the AFC North or the AFC West, they would most doubtably finish at the bottom. No questions asked. But because they're in the AFC South, as bad as they looked at times on offense and on defense, I can't say that, man, they may luck up and find themselves, and it may be a dogfight in the middle of the season between all these teams. And I'm not, and that doesn't mean that the Titans would be the better team. It's just there's no clear-cut really good team within that division.
I thought it was I'm sure the Texans were very disappointed because their defense does look
pretty
good.
Yeah, their defense is good.
They can get after the quarterback. But to let the Bucs go down and score where you could have given up a field goal. They had to score a touchdown, and the Bucs just I wouldn't say they cruised, but they methodically worked the two-minute drill to perfection and scored. Trevor Lawrence, 3 interceptions already. His passing numbers are kind of meh. And they've run the ball pretty well. So that's something to watch. Like, this is Liam Cohen is supposed to come in there and bring out the best in Trevor Lawrence, and it hasn't really happened yet.
Skyler,
I still look at them and say that's the team, to me, that has the highest ceiling.
You're talking about the Jaguars.
Yeah.
I mean, the two of us, Willie and I picked the Jags to win the division.
I picked Indy.
You are looking pretty good right now.
Yeah, I'm looking good right now.
Skyler says the Jags need to fire that new GM for trading that haul for Travis Hunter. You mean Doogie Howser himself, James Gladstone?
It is going to be a question. It's just like I often drop in there. Was it the right decision to draft Cam Ward, number one, and not take what you could have gotten? That is true on the flip side for the Jags. Was it worth giving up what they gave up for Travis Hunter?
Because if you're going to let him play both ways, then yeah, but you're not. He can't. He's not. Physically, he just is not going to be able to do it. So you gave up all that stuff for a wide receiver that, if you were just drafting him alone as a wide receiver, he wouldn't have been the first wide receiver taken.
You've been saying this since the start.
He's a good player, but he wouldn't have been the first wide receiver taken or the first defensive back taken.
I'm looking to see how many defensive snaps he had in week 2. I can't find it off the.
He had 2 tackles.
Yeah, pass breakup.
So he was in there some on defense.
Listen, he's going to be a good player.
This website, this Jacksonville News website, says that he played 39 snaps on defense and 42 on offense.
He's going to be a good player, but is it going to be enough to justify you giving up what you gave up just to move up to get him? I don't know. That's why this division, to me, I picked Indy to win, and it looks like that's going to be the case, but I wouldn't be surprised if we look up after 10 games and it's a dogfight with all of them.
And it just shows you how quickly things can change in the NFL. A couple of years ago, C.J. Stroud was the it kid. And last season, the Texans had the same record, right? They went 10-7 in each of C.J. Stroud's first 2 seasons. But if you look under the hood, the process was noticeably worse in year 2 than it was in year 1. And now look at where the Texans are. That's how quickly fortunes can change in the NFL.
And it's early. You can, especially in this division, 0-2 is not the end of the world. So there's a lot left. And another illustration of how quick things can change, the Bengals now without Burrow for 3 months.
Ooh.
We're going to find out a lot about Jake Browning, right? He's going to play a lot. And do we think that they will even hand him the reins and just say he's the man? Or do you think they'll have to keep an eye, like hedge their bets and look around and like?
No, he's the guy. He did well last year. He almost led him to the playoffs last year. He's their guy. He's about to earn him a whole bunch of money.
Well, 2 years ago is when he got to play.
Exactly.
Right?
But he's about to earn himself a whole bunch of money.
He can prove that he belongs to.
That he's a starting quarterback in this league.
No question. And he's going to get some feature games, too. Because if you take a look, they're like the Monday night game or the Sunday night. They've got some marquee matchups where Jake Browning's going to get a chance to shine, mm-hmm. and he's throwing to two incredible wide receivers.
Whew. Jake Browning, a popular Titans fan target for quarterback in the offseason. Go get Jake Browning.
I mean, I would have loved if they were not going to.
This is why they didn't trade. This is why they did not.
Exactly,
so,
for this.
Because so in you can't theory, count on Joe. I mean, look, Joe Burrow, like, what the Bengals have done with their offensive line should be abolished. Look at how many injuries
he's had a
Joe
lot of
Burrow has had.
And in theory, he's out for 3 months. So can you survive the Bengals, who have they've got two wins? Can they survive in the mid-December and get him back in there with a chance to make the playoffs?
Well,
that's the job for Jake Browning.
We'll find out. Even though we are not a Cincinnati-based radio program, we will keep an eye on it, I'm sure. But that'll do it for us today. Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow will join us tomorrow. Week 4 of Silly Underdog Picks tomorrow as well in the 5 o'clock hour. Willie's Mets are coming up next. How do you feel, Willie?
Nervous.
Okay. Padres.
Nervous Purvis.
Padres at Mets. Coming up next.
I need to channel some Purvis Ellison.
Yeah, you do.
Never Nervous Purvis. Anything but.
That'll do it for us. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Great.
Be love. Love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful day. I love you. We love you. Peace.